Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the F.I.L.A. 9-month 2023 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Massimo Candela, CEO of F.I.L.A. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon and welcome to this 9-month presentations. No doubt I am very satisfied about the results we are delivering. I am referring to sales, I am referring to EBITDA, I am referring to cash generation, and also net income. For what EBITDA is concerned, the most important message is that we have regained the what we consider a consistent profitability between 17% and 18%. I think multiple times I have recalled in the meetings around the world that this target was our primary target, and in these 9 months we are happy to show this result. In terms of net profit, I think the result is important in a year in which we have been forced to manage a very high cost of financing, and the fact that the company has been able to deliver a net profit growing versus last year, I think it's a very important message. Net bank debt is even more important. We have been able in 9 months to generate also 50 million euro free cash flow in advance of a possible extraordinary project that all of you are informed in India. So I think this is very important because in after COVID period, and after the acquisition in North America that has put the group in a leveraged situation, we are clearly showing a very strong path towards the reduction of debt. So these 9 months show a very strong capability of generating cash and improving the working capital. In general terms, we can say that we are having a very strong year almost everywhere in the world, except for Europe. In Europe, due probably to the weak economy and the high interest rate, we are really seeing a very strong, I would say beyond every logical expectation, a very strong destocking process from our customers. So this means that for the coming quarters, the end of 23 and the coming quarters in 24, our expectations are for a better environment also in Europe, but clearly in 2023, we have been able to record this kind of trend. In United States, we are seeing a very healthy growth and with a very nice profitability that we have been able to generate after our an Italian manager took over the responsibility in North America. In Mexico, we see a double-digit growth together with a strong increase of the Mexican pesos, which will help us in the consolidated balance sheet. In India, as you all know, now it's almost 2 years that we experience a growth between 30 and 40% every year that we can confirm also for the coming 2023. Considering so these 9 months and not significant variations during October and November, we can confirm what we said during last call in August, in which we had increased the target of EBITDA beyond the 120 million threshold, and we have confirmed that cash generation will be at the high end of the between 40 and 50 million euro. Now I ask Christian Nicoletti to explain in detail the results, and I will welcome your question later. Thank you.
Thanks, Massimo. Good afternoon to everyone. You should have received the presentation, and please go to the first page. Revenue. Adjusted core businesses were 614.2 million euro, plus 3.2% on 9 months 2022, plus 6.7% at comparable FX rates. As Massimo said, Asia and Center of South America saw significant organic growth, plus 32.8% and plus 21.4%, respectively, thanks to the strong performance, particularly in the school and office segment in India and Mexico. I'd like to highlight in particular the performance in North America, plus 3.5% on the 9 months 2022. As you already know, since the beginning of January, FILA Group management focus was moved to North America with the aim to bring back the subsidiary to the historical level and profitability but to consistent growth. In Europe, the scenario is still complex and strongly influenced by the high cost of money, which has generated important destocking effects. Adjusted EBITDA in 9 months 2023, excluding IFRS 16, was euro 180 million, plus 13.1% on 9 months 2022, plus 13.3% at like-for-like exchange rates. I like a more than proportional growth than revenue, thanks to positive performance in particular in North America and Asia. Adjusted EBITDA margin was 17.6%, with a significant increase of 150 basis points on the same period, thanks to the positive effect generated by price increases to the efficient business in North America, and to the results obtained from the various actions implemented on process and structural costs, as well as working capital management. Net profit. The total adjusted net profit, excluding IFRS 16 impact, was 45.1 million euro, plus 4.9% on 9 months 2022, thanks to the strong operative performance, despite higher net financial expenses at 23.4 million euro, compared to the ones of the same period the previous year, of which 21.5 million euro mainly related to increase in variable interest rates. Adjusted group net profit was euro 39.1 million to the growing contribution minority, to euro 6.1 million, significantly up to euro 3.6 million in 9 months 2022. The net bank debt over the last 12 months was 367 million euro, 415.6 million in 9 months 2022, with a decrease into the last 12 months of 48.6 million euro, decrease of 45.5 million excluding the positive FX effect of approximately 9.3 million euro and the negative M&A effect of approximately 8.2 million euro related to the acquisition Bate Madoms Industry Limited Corporation. Adjusted free cash flow to equity was positive for 6.4 million euro, negative 24.1 million in 9 months 2022, with an improvement of plus 30.5 million euro on 9 months 2022, mainly to the higher operation cash flow generation and lower working capital absorption of 34.2 million euro, following the release of inventory in line with our expectation, mainly in North America, partially mitigated by higher capex for 13.2 million euro, almost related to Asia to support the growth, and higher net financial expenses for 3.57 million euro, mainly to the interest rate increase. Now we are ready for Q&A section.
Thank you. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Niccolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on India. If you can give us the latest on the IPO process and which is the expected timetable to date. The second one, still related to Indian Sudoms IPO. If you can share with us how much of the extraordinary cost reported year to date are related to the IPO process. And the last question is on Europe. I've made some calculations and in Q3 probably we were down organically 10%. So maybe if you can comment on what's behind this drop, if it's just fine arts dragging down the figure, or if it's school, and maybe also if you have a view on how the sellout is doing, because we are talking about the stocking, but we do not know whether customers are buying products or not. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Nicolò, and thanks for your question. So concerning question number one, India IPO, everything is moving on time, and also I can say in the best way possible. There is a huge interest in this IPO and in this company. We just finished the roadshow, and in this moment we are simply waiting for the green light coming from the SEBI, which is the authority of the market. Once the green light will come, and it is expected in the next maximum in the next 10 days, you have to retrocalculate 30 days from the green light to the day of the listing of the shares. So I would say, compared to the informations we have shared with you in the last 4 or 5 months, no news, good news. And we do expect the listing happening before the end of the year. Okay. Concerning extraordinary cost in 9 months results, Christian, can you please answer and maybe give some detail on this extraordinary cost?
Absolutely. Okay. Relating to extraordinary cost on 9 months 2023, we have no extraordinary cost related to IPO process. We take these costs when will happen the IPO process. The mainly part of extraordinary costs that we have faced in 9 months, 2023, are related to reorganization and restructuring costs in North America. We are facing the reorganization, and in particular, we are working on to complete the closing of the Macon, McMurray, and Saudabri. Their process, the activity that we hope to finalize within 1 year, more or less. The reorganization in Brashear due to the commercial reorganization activity. And the other one is an closing activity, legal contentious in North America, Abbotsford, that is a contentious that we have received from the past owner of Dixon USA. That they are the main extraordinary cost that we faced in 9 months, 2023.
Okay, thank you. For what Europe is concerned, I have to ask Christian if the figures that Nicolò reported, so minus 10% in the third quarter, is accurate, because I don't have it on top of my mind.
Okay. We faced at the end of 9 months 2023 negative more or less 6% in line the previous.
How much?
Year end 9 months minus 6% 9 months.
Okay, and the single third quarter
should be just a moment.
Okay, so while Christian is double checking the numbers for the third quarter, your question is whether it is divided between fine art and school. Yes, proportionally the reduction is more or less the same. Why this weak performance? So first of all, I have analyzed the trend of the market, and FILA performance is in line with the market reduction that is mainly due to the very weak rate of birth that is now affecting all Europe, and a weak economy since I would say in Europe, especially after June, we see very strong sign of recession in many businesses, and this has increased the trend of our customer to strongly destock. And when I say strongly, I really mean strongly, and I outline this because our expectation for the quarters coming are proportionally improving, as from our opinion, customers are over destocking, so they are targeting a very short-term result without considering the impact on service due to their priorities in cash generation. But this is not sustainable. So really, we think the performance of Europe in this moment is worse than the reality, but we will have a clear measure during the course of 2024. Nothing else. I think that the sellout in terms of the product mix is coherent with our history. Of course, when you see that the number of kits that are attending schools, for example, in Italy and in Spain, in the last 5-6 years have gone down 18%, despite FILA is performing well or taking market share from the competition or from private label, there is clearly a limit in this improvement. Again, we need to understand the magnitude of the destocking to better evaluate what will happen in the fourth quarter. Christian, do you have the number ready for Europe third quarter standalone?
Yes, we confirm 10% negative. Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe I have another question, but I keep it for later. Thank you.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. A couple of quick questions from my side. First one is on net working capital. Probably the most pleasant surprise of the release was the sharp decrease in net working capital. Just wondering if you have any specific target in terms of net working capital on sales for the full year 2023 you should share with us. Second question is on North America. If I take the implicit performance of the third quarter, we should be in, say, flattish territory. Just wondering if there is any, say, self-imposed discontinuation of non-profitable sales driving this slowdown, or if it is a market trend.
So concerning the first question, so the net working capital, as you could appreciate, we are quickly reaching our target that was in the area of 40% on sales, if you recall. I think that we are quickly improving this ratio, and this should not be a surprise because we have SAP now working and efficient all around the world. Last but not least, there are much less frictions in the supply chain. You probably recall the last 2-3 years how many problems we have in logistics, in shipping, and now the situation is more regular. So the level of safety stock we have been able to reduce. So all in all, I think the target, I remember before COVID, we were targeting something around 38-40% of working capital on sales, and we are quickly reaching this level, thus generating a very nice cash flow. Concerning North America, the sales, Christian, maybe you can give us a more precise numbers, but it's not flattish. I think we are growing in dollars denominated, but you have to consider that the dollar has strongly lost value compared to September 2022. But on top of my mind, I think we are between 6-7% of lower dollar versus last year. So this clearly has an impact in euro-denominated top line. Yes, of course, the activity we have put in place have substantially worked also on profitable sales. I think we anticipated that we wanted to be much more efficient in North America, also to reach a satisfactory level of service, to improve the quality of the business we are managing, also from an organizational point of view, so an internal organization. We have reorganized the company, we have reorganized the processes. We have implemented a price increase, and we have implemented a new product with better margin. The results, I think, is extremely positive. As you can see in page 5, the adjusted EBITDA by geographical area is really a substantial big number. So we are talking of 46% of EBITDA coming from North America. That I think is very important also because in North America the trend of rate of birth is more stable and not expected to go down in the coming years. So I before finishing the answer this morning during the board meeting, I was recalling to the board member that in 2019 we made a substantial acquisition in North America, increasing the level of the debts. Unfortunately, then we fall into COVID period and inflation period. So really, in North America, we have never demonstrated how good was the acquisition we have made. Well, now I think the numbers speak themselves. I think the step we made in 2019 now put us in a much more comfortable position, safer position, that is telling us the company is profitable and more than that can generate very good cash.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about financial expenses. It's likely that this year at the cash level you are running at 7 million euros each quarter to reach around 30 million for this year, if I am not wrong. I would like to have your view about financial expenses for next year, including, I mean, the potential IPO process of the India subsidiary, or even without it. So, considering your step down in financial costs, lower gross debt. So, just if you could elaborate a little bit more on this, of course, at current interest rates. My second question is instead still about Europe. Sorry about that, but it's important. So third quarter was minus 10%, so very harsh. So if I understood correctly, you are seeing a better fourth quarter, so positive organic growth in Europe, or is still too early to see a revamp of sales due to the end of the stocking? My third question is about so basically you are deconsolidating, so we hope that you will end the process in India and then you will deconsolidate the Indian business that is fast growing, very nice and so on. So I was just wondering if you are trying to find a new potential emerging market with similar opportunities to grow there or to expand via M&A. And finally, my last question about North America. So the here very very nice improvement margins. So we are talking 18.5% in 9 months. You probably will reach 70%, so the target already this year. So just looking if there is more room to extract value there, or of course you are already happy about this level of profitability. Thank you.
Christian, can you please answer the first question of Alessandro?
Yes, of course. Alessandro, we confirm the expectation of the interest and the end of the year. In particular, I want to highlight that the scenarios of the interest variable interest is completely different what we have assumed at the beginning of the year, because at the beginning of the year we have roughly an Euribor at the value 2.2%, more or less, and SOFR more or less 3.5%. Today we are on a Euribor that is roughly 3.8%, and on SOFR that is more or less 5.1%. Considering this variable interest increase, the group managed very well the impact of the interest rate, because take your hand that we have an anchoring agreement covered for 65%, respect of 2022 is completely different. We are working to reduce this impact with cash pooling on cluster Europe, work to reduce as much possible the external line in Mexico, where we have interest for 50%, and we obtained a decrease of fees in North America. This is the scenario that we are working on, and we can confirm that we reach our target, more or less between 28 to 30 million euros. Related to scenario 24, depend on the success that we hope about IPO process. We consider a saving without saving considering the success IPO for 10 million of euro next year. Considering India in our perimeter, the saving will be there. I can confirm this.
So, thanks, Christian. Concerning the second question, Europe in the fourth quarter. Yes, I think the situation will, in this moment, is slightly improving. In Europe, you have to consider that Europe has a very specific features in terms of distribution. It's an old type of distribution. It is characterized by thousands of small customers. So what happened in Europe, generally speaking, you can understand a little bit later in time. It is sure that the stocking has been massive. So in this moment, of course, customer has taken the opportunity to destock during back to school, and of course, as many of them are below the threshold, the reasonable threshold, we see a more regular trend for the last fourth quarter. So I would answer to this question a slight improvement. Concerning New India, but I think that India is a very unique country, because is probably the country in the world with the youngest population. I think that it's not easy to find a country in which you have a rate of instruction that is quickly growing. So it's probably a unique situation. Of course, we will enjoy this IPO. Probably as the IPO will touch the very high end of the range that we expect, probably FILA will end up with a higher level of share participation, share interest. Because we strongly believe in this country, so this is good news. There are areas of the world in which we definitely can do a better job, in South America and in southeast of the world. I don't see any project of the magnitude of India, of course. I see extremely interesting opportunities coming from the old world, so from mainly from Europe. This situation when Fila is commenting probably the best year of its history. In the same time, we see balance sheet and economical situation of direct competitor extremely weak. The reason is because we are exposed to North America, to Mexico and India, while competition is more focused on Europe. And in Europe, the situation is complicated. I see in the 3-4 years coming a strong aggregation of the business. And here we can enjoy great opportunities in the coming years. Concerning US, US has reached an extremely and higher than average profitability versus compared to Fila balance sheet. Clearly, US is a market in which you deal with very few customers. If you are able to manage properly the supply chain and the relationship, is a market in which, number one, it's easier to do business when you deal with less customers. Is a market that is more stable in terms of planning, so you have less impact from destocking or from a very long chain of distribution. Still in Europe, the biggest part of the business is made through wholesaler and small retailers. So the fact that after the deconsolidation of India, USA will represent more than 50% of our turnover, but we'll enjoy a super efficient supply chain because we have focused our resources in Mexico and in India. Both countries enjoy almost no duty, Mexico, or very low duty to import in North America, makes Fila extremely efficient to manage U.S. market and customers' expectations. So I think that we should enjoy this level of profitability, and in the coming 12-18 months, finally, we will finish the extraordinary cost because we still pay lease for buildings and warehouses that we are not using. And these costs in this moment are falling into the extraordinary. Finally, these leases will end, and this will help us to increase the cash generation and substantially go towards zero with the extraordinary cost. So we are quite positive for what the U.S. market is concerned.
Okay, thank you. Follow-up on financial expenses. I didn't understand if it's a 10 million reduction in year, including the IPO process, or I mean excluding. So just if you could give more granularity on this. And you spoke about during the call about Europe outlook for 2024. So I was asking you if you have some specific actions on profitability, because of course you look at very good in the US, while of course also due to top line margins in Europe were weak this year. Thank you.
In Europe, we don't have, or better, we have some specific commercial action. We are learning from what is happening this year. And we think we are going to be a little bit more aggressive. Again, we are not negative or slightly positive for next year. For Europe, we see a recovery for 2024. For what is the financial cost is concerned, we really, at the situation where we are today, we do not consider anymore the possibility that the IPO will not happen. We have advanced so much that we really think the IPO now is almost a reality, is a fact. So the 10 million euro less interest rate, which means 2.5 million euro per quarter, we think now it's a fact starting from January 2024.
Okay, many thanks.
The next question is from Pietro Nargi, Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. The first one is about top line. If my calculation were correct, the year-on-year organic growth in the third quarter was about 4.5%. So if you could provide a split between the pricing component and the volume. The second question is on profitability. Looking at the Asian market, it seems the Asian market is performing very well in terms of margins, with 20% margins in the third quarter, slightly below the first half results in terms of margin. If you could provide the main drivers underlying this strong performance. And the last one is about CapEx. If you could provide with an update on the expectation for the full year 23 on CapEx. Thanks.
Excuse me, can you repeat what year for CapEx, 2024 or 2023?
2023, thanks.
Okay, so for what sales is concerned, we have a quite negative impact from exchange rate. If you go back to page 4, our sales are in the area of 3.2%, while if we consider the same or comparable exchange rate, our sales will grow around 7%. It's written in page 4.
I was referring to the third quarter, not the fourth quarter.
Third quarter standalone. That number I don't have in front of me, sorry, especially because I'm not in the office today. So, Christian, can you please answer, because I don't have this number in front of me, sorry.
You confirm your assumption. We have an increase of 31 net of FX 31 at the end of June, and 40 million net of FX only one quarter.
I was talking about 4.5% year-on-year organic growth in the third quarter, that is compensated by a reduction about 7.4% due to FX, meaning the year-on-year growth is negative by roughly 3%. So my question is about the pricing component and the volume one. So if you could split the organic growth across these two components.
No, I think we are not able, but anyway, I really have a hard time to understand the question, because 93% of our sales or 70% of our sales are outside Europe, which means that you have to analyze by currency and by product mix and also by price mix, because, for example, in India, the unit price is much lower than in Europe. So I think to talk about a single trend worldwide is really meaningless. So it's a kind of analysis that we do not perform. It makes sense by country. So unless Christian is able to answer, I am not really in a position to answer how much is volume, how much is prices, because again, in India, unit price is much lower, and then you have to consider the exchange rate. While coming back to your question on margins, yes, in Southeast of the world, margins are definitely growing, and I think I explained this in one of the recent calls. There is definitely an improvement. There is number one, an operational leverage for especially in India. When a company grows between 30% and 40%, of course the overhead percentage tend to have a lower impact. Then the company now has reached a threshold in which is recognized a leader in terms of innovation, in terms of image, and it represents a bit the rising star. So we have been able to increase prices versus competition. In the past, there was much more sensitivity on prices, especially in India, while now our consumer tend to ask for our product. Last but not least, India has not suffered like Europe from the consequences of Ukraine war. The reason is very simple. There is a ban on Russian raw materials, while in India there is no ban on Russian raw materials. So the inflation on raw material in India is much lower than the inflation we have in Europe. So clearly this has helped a lot the improvement of our margins. For question number three, Christian, maybe you can answer about CapEx, please.
Okay. Yes. Related to composition investments at the end of September 2023, the main part are related to DOMS development. You remember that we have 25 million of euro. We have roughly 10 million to buy on land. This is the capability of the company. And our expectation for 2023 is to conform our budget that is roughly 30 million of euros, 33 million euros roughly.
Very clear, thanks.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Sabrina Giada, Intesa San Paolo. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I have a question on the pricing policy in the US. I know that you probably don't need to change any price mix there, but I was wondering if you're thinking to apply sooner or later the same mix as in Europe, or an entry-level price product. Thank you.
Sabrina, for your question. So if I understood well, your question is if we are going to increase further prices in the United States. No, because we have increased prices last time in January 2023. We are happy now with the new pricing structure, and I think we are stabilized. There is a kind of pressure from customers for price reduction that we are not accepting, for the simple reason that there is some pressure on salaries, some to compensate the recent inflation. So we don't see any logical ground to reduce prices, not considering also the impact of interest rate and so on. So we think that the level of profitability we have reached in North America is sustainable and it's okay for us. For your question of a product mix, whether to consider to launch product in more in the entry level section, if I understood well your question.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Thank you. No, we are considering for Europe because we think that there is a growing demand due to the clear recession that is going on in Europe and the fact that inflation has opened some space to the competition that we want to close. Please let me highlight that this does not mean that we are going to reduce our average margin. We are going to launch probably new product in the entry level section, but keeping our percentage margin stable. In United States, we don't need to do that because we are already in a level that is extremely competitive in North America, like in India, by the way. India and United States for the distribution features are already extremely competitive markets. And if I could guess, the price positioning for the consumer in North America is almost half of Europe already today. Our competition is made by the private label. Private label in North America historically is very well distributed, has reached more or less 30% of the market share, while in Europe is still sitting around 18%, so much lower. But above 30%, private label has very hard time to find new market share or to gain market share. So there is a kind of stabilization. We face this competition now for almost 15-20 years. As I said, it's a very competitive market. So already for 15 years, we have been forced to position ourselves very competitive against private label. In India, just for your information, but it's important, the competition, the market is dominated by local manufacturers. Local manufacturers do not have the tradition to produce private label because there is no space for private label to compete against the local leader, as the market is so competitive that we enjoy very high volumes, but also very minimal margin to guarantee the profitability. So in India, the pressure is historically very strong on prices, and it's probably the lowest price market in the world, even lower than North America.
Thank you.
Mr. Candela, there are no more questions registered at this time. I turn the conference back to you for the closing remarks.
Then I thank all of you to have attended this call. And I think we're going to meet soon during the meetings. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.